You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. On today's episode, we're going to break down and take a look at the free agency signing of Brian Poole, what it means to the New Orleans Saints, how it shakes up the secondary, and we're going to take a look at some potential other signings out there because I don't think the Saints are quite done at the cornerback position, but one big name is already off the market as well on the same day. And then we're going to wrap up with some new information that we were sort of made privy to thanks to our good friend Nick Underhill and the great work that he has done covering Michael Thomas's surgery and his unavailability to begin the 2021 season. So we'll talk about all of that and much more. And I'll explain to you where I am and what's going on as we get started with today's episode. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, co-managing editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL Podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, let's get started with today's episode real quick. Let me explain why things look different. I'm currently out of town. I'm visiting my parents for the first time in nearly 2 years, thanks to all the things that have been going on. So what you're going to be getting over the next couple of days are some pre-recorded interviews with John Hendricks as well as Dylan Sanders. But if any breaking news happens and as training camp progresses as well, I'll make sure that you're going to get any type of big updates and everything as well. So you might get a couple of days of two episodes, things like that as we move forward. I'm back in my place once we get to Wednesday, so I'll be ready for the start of camp on Thursday. But just to give you a heads up about why things might look and feel a little bit different, I'm just simply not at my home setup. But want to make sure that I'm giving you everything that you need to know around your New Orleans Saints. And so even if my audio sounds a little bit different or my video looks a little bit different, things will be back to normal for Thursday's episode. But I want to make sure you've got everything that you need without missing a beat. So thank you very much for being here for another episode of Locked On Saints. Don't forget to check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show as well, to get all of the national news that you need. And your boy co-hosted just last week as well, filling in for Ryan Peacock. So go and check out that episode where we talked about some great Saints nuggets, thanks to our good friends over at Football Outsiders. But the Saints made a big signing this weekend that I want to make sure that we talk about a little bit in depth here. And it's Brian Poole, the former cornerback that played with the, he played his first beginning of his career with the Atlanta Falcons. And then over the past couple of years, he has been with the New York Jets and has played very well with the New York Jets over the course of the last two seasons. His season did end a little early in 2020. He only played nine games or appeared in nine games in the 2020 season because of a shoulder injury that ended up sidelining him and ending his season early. But here he is now getting and landing a new spot here with the New Orleans Saints. Now, the thing to know about Brian Poole is that he is primarily a slot corner. So I don't know that he's really the answer on the outside. Hasn't played a ton. He was really only targeted just less than 15 times, maybe a little bit more on the outside over the course of the last two seasons. Certainly was only targeted about eight times last year on the outside. So not a lot that you can really take away in terms of what he has done here recently that's relevant to the outside cornerback play that the Saints are still going to be looking to fill, I believe, opposite Marshon Lattimore and potentially in place of Marshon Lattimore before the season starts. So I don't think that Brian Poole solves all of the issues, but here's where Brian Poole definitely helps, which is in the slot. If you look at the last season that he played, which was in 2020 with the New York Jets, targeted 40 times total, 32 of those targets came in the slot. He allowed 27 total receptions, 67.5% when targeted, had five forced incompletions. Those were three pass breakups, which is better, which is actually getting the ball, getting your hand on the ball, knocking the ball away, and also two interceptions with no touchdowns allowed and a 65.7 passer rating when targeted. So he's going to be a good addition for the New Orleans Saints if he ends up being their dime back, if he just ends up being depth in the slot, or if he ends up starting in the slot. And I know what you're thinking. Why would he start in the slot when C.J. Gardner-Johnson, of course, is your guy that's going to start in the slot? Let's be very clear. Brian Poole is not going to force C.J. Gardner-Johnson off of the field. There's no situation to me in which that happens. However, if C.J. Gardner-Johnson ends up being the option opposite Marshon Lattimore on the outside, then all of a sudden you have a really good secondary if he can hold up that CB2 spot, or if he ends up having to play on the outside, even in place of Marshon Lattimore, maybe across from Paulson Adebo or potentially along with Patrick Robinson playing on the outside, then you still have a viable slot receiver over the course of the first five games where you're going to need a viable slot receiver, especially going up against the Green Bay Packers to open up the season, especially if Aaron Rodgers ends up playing, which that's a whole other list of rumors and speculation that's been going on here over the course of the last weekend. But we'll talk about that once there's actually something to talk about. So when you talk about why Brian Poole ends up being a good signing for the Saints and where he ends up contributing, the thing to consider is his ability to be able to provide veteran depth. Again, he's not going to force C.J. Gardner-Johnson off of the field, but if C.J. Gardner-Johnson has to play elsewhere, then you have Brian Poole. Even if C.J. Gardner-Johnson does end up starting in the slot for you, which is what we all expect, and Patrick Robinson starts on the outside, if something were to happen to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, what you don't want is to move Patrick Robinson, who's usually your backup slot position, back to the slot and then have to pull a fourth player, basically, to play on the outside. Instead, you can go directly from C.J. Gardner-Johnson to Brian Poole, leave Patrick Robinson on the outside. So there's a lot of different ways that this can be helpful for the New Orleans Saints. How it ends up being helpful remains to be seen. And where Brian Poole ends up actually playing for the Saints also remains to be seen, but we'll get a lot more sort of clearer indications of that as we get into and through camp. But even if it means putting a sixth defensive back out there and you're a little worried about, let's say, PJ Williams, then all of a sudden Brian Poole becomes maybe a player that you are more comfortable with being that other or that sixth defensive back. Because remember, the Saints use six defensive backs more than any other team in the NFL, according to Football Outsiders in 2020. No reason to expect that to change going into 2021. So Brian Poole coming in on a one-year deal. No word as of my recording this, at least, on whether or not that is, you know, a veteran minimum deal or if they paid him above that. But there was another corner that was signed elsewhere for well above minimum. And maybe the Saints might have been involved in that player before landing on Brian Poole. Then that player ended up signing elsewhere. We don't know that for sure, but the Saints have certainly been in the market for a cornerback, and I don't think that they're done. So where else can they go? That's what we're going to talk about as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And as always, I'd like to tell you about our good friends over at Built Bar as well, because they're such a big part of what we do here over at the Locked On Podcast Network. And now they're a big part of the Olympics as well, which is super cool because they are the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. And of course, if you look at the track and field team, you have a lot of LSU alums that are a part of it, a lot of really cool folks that are all a part of that. So it's an awesome thing when it comes down to Built Bars, which we have been so excited about over the course of time. 9 different flavors that are just incredible. Coconut almond, if you like Mounds, Almond Joy. These are covered in 100% chocolate and taste just like the candy bar, but only 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 17, 18 grams of protein to help you get through your day. And they've got other fantastic flavors as well, such as mint brownie, peanut butter brownie. And of course, if you're a fan of raspberry or a fan of fruit and chocolate, there's a raspberry bar for you as well. Something for everybody over at BuiltBar.com. So go and check them out. And when you do, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15 so you can get 15% off once again at BuiltBar.com. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And we talked about in the first segment how the Saints signed Brian Poole, the cornerback formerly of the New York Jets, spent some time with the Atlanta Falcons as well. And so this is a player that the Saints have been familiar with over the course of time because they played up against him. You remember him from some pretty iconic plays that John Hendricks is going to point out tomorrow when we talk more about Brian Poole. But do we think that the Saints are done at the cornerback position where they still have 4 spots, again, at the time of this recording, available on the roster? I think it's fair to say that they're not done there yet, especially if they're going to be looking for multiple options on the outside at the cornerback position, depending upon what happens with Marshon Lattimore. And I think what we consider a looming or impending suspension, and we don't know how long that's going to be. I imagine 2 games if he gets suspended, but we'll see what happens. Remember, we talked about 4 to 6 games for David Onyemata, ended up being 6. But anyway, for the Saints, as they look at other options at the cornerback position, unfortunately, one of the top corners that I know a lot of Saints fans really liked and that I liked as well is now off the market with Steven Nelson signing a 1-year, $4 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, when you're signing a cornerback or you're signing a player this late in free agency, it's tough to pay them above veteran minimum. It's not really a thing that I think the Saints wanted to do. And you notice that the Steven Nelson signing news broke after the Brian Poole news broke, which happened Sunday morning. I don't know if the two are connected or not, but certainly looking at Steven Nelson's price tag, you can say, oh, $4 million isn't a lot of money. That's true. But when the Saints still have $11.9 or so million dollars, they're going to want to spread that and stretch that as much as they can and probably try to roll some of it over into 2021. So it doesn't surprise me that if Steven Nelson's asking price was $4 million, the Saints didn't go that route. Now, that's even to just assume that those two, that player and the team even had a conversation. We don't know that, right? Steven Nelson played for Pittsburgh. Now he's staying in Pennsylvania by playing with Philadelphia. Maybe that was his plan all along, was to not go super far away from where he had already sort of implanted himself. But when it comes down to the Saints, there are still some options out there. Drake Kirkpatrick, who they've already checked in on at this point or earlier in the offseason. They can still go to Gerrion Conley, the former first round selection out of Ohio State, formerly of the Oakland Raiders. He's somebody whose knowledge of the Ohio State defense can give you some hope in terms of his ability to be able to turn his kind of trajectory so far around with a New Orleans Saints defense that has shown that they can sort of translate that Ohio State training into success in their defense. And of course, he had a great outing with the Houston Texans as well. He, just like Brian Poole, the example of a player that changed teams and then performed better with the new team than he performed with the former team. So the Saints still have some options there. And of course, there are still the trade options as well. Should a guy like Stephon Gilmore or potentially even Xavien Howard become available, reasonable to expect that the Saints would be all over that. And then all of a sudden, you have a secondary that goes from being one of the ones that you have the most question marks about and that you feel maybe the worst about, or not really the worst about in the division, but certainly one that you have the most question marks about because you don't know what's going to happen at either one of those starting cornerback positions. And then they would turn quickly into one of the best secondaries in the NFL at that point, particularly in a nickel package where you could potentially see your three safeties, including CJ Gardner-Johnson, Malcolm Jenkins, and Marcus Williams, and then eventually Marshawn Lattimore, hopefully immediately Marshawn Lattimore, and then one of these all-pro top-of-league guys in Stephon Gilmore or Xavien Howard. So not a bad situation, especially having a guy like Brian Poole that could be depth for you within that and potentially even your dime back all within that. So the Saints still have a lot of different routes that they can go, and it's reasonable to expect that even though they brought in Brian Poole, that they will still be looking elsewhere in terms of possible corners that they could bring in. So you should expect to see some tryouts here as Thursday training camp really begins. So far, only rookies reported yesterday on the 25th on Sunday. You'll see veterans reporting tomorrow on Tuesday, and you'll probably get some news around players. Michael Thomas is expected to go to the physically unable to perform list, which we'll talk about more in detail in a moment as we get to our third segment to kind of just define a little bit more so what that means. But you should expect to see more tryouts for players as well, right? This player is visiting with the team or, you know, after practice saying, hey, these guys were here and they were wearing these numbers and whatever, like those sort of reports that feel like they might be innocuous, but actually end up having a big time meeting either right now or even potentially later on when the Saints might have to look for somebody at a later point. All of this is a very important time to get these sort of checkups on players. And speaking of checkups, it seems that there was a missed checkup when it came to Michael Thomas and his injury, which kind of explains a little bit about why the surgery happened so late. Let's check in on that as we wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints to give you all the details that you need to know and that we know so far around the Michael Thomas mystery ankle surgery situation as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And as we get there, don't forget to go and check out, I talked about the Olympics earlier. There's a ton going on with the women's gymnastics, which is one of my favorite parts of the Olympics getting started here, medaling in just a day or so. They just finished qualifications on Sunday. So if you're interested in the Olympics at all, like I am, right now, 42.5 is the over-under for U.S. gold medals. They also have over-unders for U.S. total medals and much more across the world at the Olympics. They've also got futures over in the NFL, including divisional finishing spots, including win-loss totals, things like that. So much going on over at betonline.ag that you should get in on this action right away. So if you'd like to do that, just go and check them out over at betonline.ag. And of course, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, so you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON over at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's get it, Houdat Nation, and we're wrapping up today's episode. Once again, I'm at my parents' place, so that's why everything might sound a little bit different on the podcast side, look kind of much different here over on the video side if you're watching on YouTube as well. So thanks so much for just kind of being along for the ride here while I finally get an opportunity to visit my family. Once again, you're going to get interviews tomorrow with John Hendricks and then on Wednesday with my good friend Dylan Sanders. We have a lot of fun previewing training camp in both those interviews. But if anything big were to happen, I would just release another episode as well. But I'm going to do my best to kind of just allow those pre-recorded interviews to happen, spend time with my family and everything like that. But obviously, I'll be keeping you up to date with everything that you need to know. And I'm not going anywhere. Y'all know how I roll. I stay grinded. Speaking of grinding, though, somebody that we were really expecting was going to be grinding to get back into the flow of things this season was wide receiver Michael Thomas. 40 catches, 438 yards, no touchdowns last season, dealt with that high ankle sprain, had the sort of skirmish in camp that ended up leading to a one game sitting. Remember, they didn't suspend him because they didn't want to mess with his money, but they sat him for that game. And I think that we were all really expecting Michael Thomas to come back and have this incredible season. I sort of put him as somebody that was going to have over 100 receptions, maybe somewhere around 1,400 yards or so, and to finally break double-digit touchdowns. Now, all of that looks like a big-time long shot because he's expected to miss about 5 weeks of the NFL season. And according to Ian Rappaport on Sunday, he's probably going to go to the physically unable to perform list. Let's talk a little bit more about what that means here in just a second when we close out the episode. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the situation that got us here and how we ended up in this place. And all of this reporting, just to make sure that I give early credit to him, is coming from Nick Underhill over at NewOrleans.football, one of the absolute best when it comes to local sports media and the absolute best when it comes to reporting on the New Orleans Saints. And he got kind of the down low on the way that some of this went down. And so let's talk about the timeline here. Back to the beginning of the offseason here, where Michael Thomas went to a doctor about his injured ankle. And that's the high ankle sprain that he had that took place week one of the 2020 season and really ended up just derailing the rest of his year. He also had some other issues, deltoid injury, things like that. But when he went to go and get his checkup on his ankle and just sort of figure out what his options were over the course of the offseason, the doctor that he saw told him that the potential was there to rehab the injury, but that they would need to try to rehab it and then quickly get back together to sort of get a second visit to decide whether or not surgery was possible. So there was no guarantee that he could rehab it back and then get to a point where he didn't need surgery to repair it. It was pretty clear that surgery was probably going to be necessary, but that checkup, that sort of re-meet that was supposed to happen after he tried to rehab it for a little while, simply didn't happen. And no one really knows why that's the case. We don't know if Michael Thomas just decided, I'm just going to try to rehab it and then try to move forward, and then quickly found out once he got back to the team in June, when they realized that the ankle still wasn't really right, that, I messed up. I probably should have gone for that second checkup as opposed to rehabbing it. We don't know if it was that. We don't know if it was a hurt on company time, heal on company time type of situation. We don't know how much the Saints were really involved in any of that in terms of monitoring his progress. These are just things that we don't know. So I'm not going to cast judgment in any one direction or make any, there are a lot of assessments out there that Michael Thomas just doesn't want to play football anymore. I'm not going into all that. I couldn't care less about going that deep into this. What's most important to me is simply that what the timeline is, not what the timeline could have been. All we have now is what is. So what we know is that from the point of his surgery, this is very important because some people have tried to twist this around quite a bit. So from the point of his surgery, which happened in June, you're looking at a six to eight week process of healing, and then 6 to 8 weeks of sort of rehabbing so he can get back to running and cutting and doing all the things he needs to do. So the idea of the surgery is to heal him, is for him to be better, not to take a chance at him getting better. The idea is that the surgery will repair the injury and repair the situation that he's undergoing. So there's a 12 to 16 sort of week window that starts back in June. I want to be very clear about that because some people have not been clear about that. This is not something to where he's going to miss 12 to 16 weeks of the season, 12 to 16 weeks starting in June when he had the surgery. So what does that mean for the New Orleans Saints? It confirms basically the athletics report that we talked about on Friday's episode, which was that he would probably end up missing up to 5 games of the season. So this kind of all folds together now when you go back to Ian Rappaport's sort of report on Sunday that Michael Thomas is expected to go to the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. That's somebody that isn't able to get started with training camp because of an injury that they've suffered, things like that. And there's two different ways that you can go. You can go active PUP, which is somebody that just kind of is being held off right now, but could be activated at some point during the regular season. He would still count against the roster, but they're holding him out. And because he's not starting training camp, they have to put him on some injury list. The other list is a reserve PUP, reserve physically unable to perform list. That's the list that he's most likely to go to, because on that list, a player then would not participate in training camp, and then they would not be available to the team for the first 6 weeks of the season. If he's going to miss five games, which is the expectation here, the sixth week of the NFL season for the Saints is the bye week. So there's the 6 weeks right there that he would not be available to the Saints. It's the perfect lineup, basically. And then after that bye week, he would then start a 21-day window, three-week window, to where the Saints could then decide, bring him back to practice, and then he doesn't have to count against the roster immediately. They could essentially work him out for up to 3 weeks and then make the decision about whether or not he's ready to be added to the active roster and then utilized on Sundays. So they could bring him back at the beginning of week seven after the week six bye week, and then end up working with him all the way through the week of practice and then have him ready for Monday's game against the Seattle Seahawks to begin that really tough stretch of the season over the course of the next 7 or so weeks. That would be the ideal situation. That's kind of the earliest that you would see Michael Thomas come back. There is a chance that it takes more time and they have another 3 weeks. If they can't get him ready over the course of the 3 weeks following the initial 6 weeks that he misses, then he would go to injured reserve for the rest of the season. So I don't think that that will be the case for Michael Thomas, but of course we don't know, right? The surgery could have complications, could have had complications, or rehabbing can have complications. There could be setbacks. We just simply don't know at this time. But in terms of the actual timeline, that's what you're looking at. Week seven being the earliest possible return, the Monday night game against the Seattle Seahawks. It's a really intriguing situation. I'm not going to lie. It's a very intriguing situation to understand how all this played out. Certainly not ideal for the New Orleans Saints. Definitely not ideal for Michael Thomas. But the situation simply is what it is. This is where we are. So now the New Orleans Saints have to figure out who's going to be the go-to guy in the passing game, or guys in the passing game. Is it going to be some combination of Traquan Smith, Marquez Callaway, these young wide receivers? Are they going to bring somebody in? Is the offense just going to run through Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray? And then how does that affect the Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill conversation? All that's going to be really interesting, because does all of a sudden Jameis Winston's passing ability become less desirable for an offense without Michael Thomas than Taysom Hill's ability to be able to be a dual threat and to be able to run the ball and produce offense with his feet as well as a passer? Does that then become more important than Jameis Winston's throwing prowess? And then when Michael Thomas does return, does Jameis Winston then become more valuable? We just don't know at this time. And by the way, any premature reports that are coming out of anywhere that's saying that Taysom Hill is already the starter or Jameis Winston is already the starter, don't mind any of that. There's a training camp that's about to take place, and Sean Payton has already said out loud that training camp is going to be where this decision is made. And I wouldn't be surprised if the decision is also made at some point during the preseason as well. But the Michael Thomas situation definitely could potentially factor in to what that quarterback competition ends up looking like, because they also don't have their top option to make them look really, really good in potential tough throwing situations, throwing in traffic, things like that. So who are the guys that are going to step up around the quarterback to be the pass catcher for this New Orleans Saints offense? And who are the guys that are going to be the go-tos for Sean Payton as he tries to scheme together a very complicated offense for a new quarterback? All of it's going to be very interesting. All of it is going to be continued conversation. We're going to talk about a little bit more as well with John Hendricks on tomorrow's episode. And then we'll get to Dylan Sanders on Wednesday as we do some superlatives ahead of training camp, names to watch. And then, of course, you might get some bonus episodes over the course of the next couple of days while I'm out of town, in case there are any breaking news, things that you need to know about. Do everything that we can here to make sure that you are up to date on another episode of Locked On Saints. I appreciate you very much for being here with me today, bearing some of the changes here over the next couple of days. We'll be back to normal toward the end of the week. I'll be seeing you as we continue on, as we get closer to training camp. Thanks so much, everybody, for all of your support. Now that you're done here, go and win some money. Go and check out the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily bets podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Be back with you tomorrow, y'all. Y'all stay safe, and thank you again for everything that you do. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.